Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. Happy Tuesday. Well, I'm working at my kitchen table. This is where I normally work because it's a huge table, big wooden table, and I've got lots of room, but it doesn't matter. It seems the more room I get, the more of a mess I make. My daughter was sitting with me a while ago, and she brought her backpack, her pink Barbie backpack, and all of her princess books. So if I tell you I'm about to quote from Paul or Genesis or something like that, and I start reading a storybook about the magic bracelet and Barbie, you know I picked the wrong book, and I apologize ahead of time. Well, we're discussing in this program the nature of man, and this is essential. I said yesterday that there are three areas that are essential for the believer to understand. If you don't get these right, it leads to a host of evils. First, we need to understand what man is. God wrote the manual. He understands what man is, and so we're going to the correctly translated scriptures to get this right. And if you don't get the nature of man right, you end up teaching the Calvinistic and the typical Christian doctrine that man is a trinity and part of man survives at death. And if that's the case, then you got to put him somewhere. You either put him in hell or you put him in purgatory or put him in heaven. And as you've listened to these programs long enough, those are horrible teachings. And of course, the Orthodox hell we flatly deny here. It's not in scripture. And it's an invention of the church to keep the offering plates and to keep the people in check. And but we're going to get more into that as we go into these programs. Secondly, we need to understand the nature or the nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son. Trinitarian doctrine is awful. It has ruined the message, and any doctrine that makes Christ the Father himself or part of a Trinity denies the foundation of the gospel. What is the foundation of the good news? It is that Christ died for our sins, he was entombed, and he was roused again the third day. But if you make Christ a member of the Trinity, or you make him that he is the Father, then you have to deny that he died, because God can't die. Christ died for our sins. We need to understand the relationship between the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We believe in one God the Father and one Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He is not the Father. And then number three, we need to understand correctly cutting the word of truth. See, if we understand who we are, what is man, and we understand the nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son, then we need to understand the relationship of all the scriptures to each other. And that's what correctly cutting is. And when we correctly cut the word of truth, we understand what our role is, what our expectation is, and how to walk worthy of our callings. And when, if you missed the previous eight programs or so, we discussed this, that it's important to understand how to correctly cut the word of truth and what scriptures belong to us today that are directly to us. And you know that I've said on these programs before that you cannot follow Christ today unless you follow Paul. That's very important. Well, we're talking about the nature of man. And last time we talked about the human. What is he? We went to Genesis 2:7. We learned that man is soil. Now, we may be covering some of that same ground here today, but please bear in mind it's good to repeat things. So we're going to continue in this topic. Now, in the Hebrew and Greek, the word for spirit is also used for wind. And so often today, we confuse things in English. Spiritual things are confused with physical, that is, soulish things. And even our words psychic and psychological are misnamed. We'll get into that in other programs. I don't want to open up another can of worms here. Now, we said in Genesis 2:7 that Yahweh Elohim formed human from soil from the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living soul. Now, soul in the scripture is figured by liquid. It can be poured out. Just turn to Job 30:16 for that information. It is like a watered garden, Jeremiah 31:12. And it's represented in the human body by the blood. In Leviticus 17:14, we read that the soul of all flesh is the blood. Now, the King James really gets this wrong just about everywhere. It usually uses the word life for the word soul. And Genesis 1:20 is the first time you ever read about the word soul, but the King James translates it life. So most of the time they hide the truth from us. So, and I said this before, if you're using a modern version, especially if you're using a King James, you will not get the truth regarding the nature of man, because they hide the truth by their traditional translations. Now, the blood represents the soul in the Bible. It is the medium of communication between the breath and the body. The air is useless to the body without the blood, and the soil is useless without the blood. The blood is the vehicle which joins breath and body. The blood isn't composed of distinct material. It's the joint product of the breath and the body. Now in Genesis 2:7, we're going to read that again. We read that Elohim forms the human. Let me just read that again. It's important. You should memorize this verse. In Genesis 2:7, Yahweh Elohim formed the human out of soil from the ground. Now notice that. He formed him. He's almost like the great potter forming the human. He lovingly forms man. Man is his delight. He delighted to create man. He forms him like a potter, lovingly and carefully. And that's how we know that God loves man. How do we know? Well, first, he created him. And second, he sent his son as a human. Christ was a man, the man Christ Jesus. And that's proof that God loves humanity. Sorry about that. I had to turn the pages in my notes here. No, I don't have all of this memorized. Got to keep notes sometimes to keep you on track, and that's what I'm doing here. So I had to consult my notes here. Now, Genesis 2:7 teaches us the beginning of mankind. Genesis 2:7 is the foundation. Man is soil, and he returns to the soil at death. Remember, death is the reversal of the process of Genesis 2:7, and man returns to the ground. And Genesis 3:19 tells us that. Again, let's turn to Genesis 3:19. To see that death is a return. By the sweat of your brow shall you eat bread until you return to the ground, for from it were you taken. For soil you are, and to soil you shall return. So death is a reverse of that process. I said last time, death is very much like, well, take your birth date and go back 10 months. So 10, just before your conception in your womb, that's what death is like. What were you like? What were you thinking? What did you feel 2 years before you were born? Well, nothing. You didn't exist. That's the death state. It's a reversal. It's a return to a condition to where you once were. And again, we'll get into more of that in the coming programs. Also notice this. Before Yahweh Elohim blew into his nostrils the breath of life, he is called the human. That's before that even happened. So essentially, man is soil. Look at that. Yahweh Elohim formed the human out of soil from the ground. So he's called the human before the breath of life is breathed into him. So that means that human is essentially soil. Now let's turn to Paul. Let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say on this subject. Nothing has changed from Genesis 2 to the present. And 1 Corinthians 15, Paul verifies this. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 through 49. Now I'm reading from the Concordant Version, and I'll just read verse 45 through 49. If there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual also. Thus it is written also, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, a vivifying spirit. But not first the spiritual, but the soulish. Thereupon the spiritual. The first man was out of the earth, soilish. The second man is the Lord out of heaven. Such as the soilish one is, such are those also who are soilish. And such as the celestial one, such are those also who are celestials. And according as we wear the image of the soilish, we should be wearing the image also of the celestial. Now notice how the Concordant Version gets it right. It translates the word soulish and soilish. It's soil, not dust. Genesis doesn't say he formed man of dust of the ground. As the King James says, it's soil. Dust is absolutely false. Soil is the moist, fertile layer on the surface of the ground. And from that same soil, we find our food to keep us alive. All our meats and vegetables come from the soil. Mankind is soil. So let's conclude here. Notice in Genesis 2, we don't read that about the body being formed. We see that the human was formed. We don't read that man's body is formed from dust of the ground or anything like that. It's the human himself that's formed because man is soil. And also, notice also, I'll give you a little hint here. The Bible never talks about the resurrection of the body. Think about that. We're going to get into that more in other programs, but that's just a mental note. We never read of the resurrection of the body. The human himself is formed as soil from the ground. The humanity essentially is soil. The body, of course, is our distinctive part. And even in resurrection, we will have a body. In 1 Corinthians 15:44, it talks about a spiritual body. There is never a time where we will be in a disembodied state. That's a false teaching. We will always have a body. We will either have this present body or our resurrection body. In 2 Corinthians 5, we read about our present body being like a tent, a temporary structure. And in the future, it talks about our resurrection body as a house. Not made with hands, only in the heavens. It is a permanent structure as opposed to a tent. It's likened to a house rather than tent. Very interesting distinctions that we need to make. So let's conclude. Humanity is soil. What is man? He is soil. And we're going to get into more of this. Tomorrow when we come back, I'm going to discuss the soul. What is the soul? I gave you a few hints today in this program, but we're going to get into more details. This is vital information. We need to get this right, so keep studying along with me. We'll talk about this same subject once again tomorrow. This is Dan Sheridan. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God in the correctly cut scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.